Thank you, worship team. As we begin looking into the Word of God this morning, you can see the sermon outline in the bulletin, but I want to draw our attention to the title, which is actually an amazing thought, just to ponder that for a bit. This life's choices matter throughout eternity. Ponder that for just a bit. Every choice that we make in this life matters, and it will continue to affect us for all eternity. That is heavy. That's weighty. It will affect us through all eternity. So we should never think, oh, well, you know what? Doesn't matter the choices I make. The choices we make are huge. Therefore, it's important to make choices that honor God. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. I'll begin reading actually at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Did you notice what it says? So that we may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That means while we're here on this earth, while we're in this body, that will make a huge, huge difference for all eternity. Now, what is your mental picture of eternity? I don't know. What's your mental picture of heaven? How are you going to spend eternity? I don't know what you're thinking, but I know I've thought about it lots in the last number of years. If we died today, this life is over here on earth. And you step into eternity, and what is it? My question is, what is it that you and I expect? What do we expect? If we were to die today, do you have any kind of mental, maybe expectations or anticipations, or do you have a thought that this is what it might be like? See, every decision I've made up to that point will affect me for all eternity. And I need to be cognitive of that. I need to think about that because that's going to motivate the choices I make today. Every day, every hour. After physical death, we sometimes think that everything is behind us. Now, as far as some of the big events in this life, they're behind you. Yes, possibly getting married is behind you. Possibly having children is behind you. Possibly celebrating life's accomplishments are behind you. Maybe celebrating a 50th anniversary is behind you. But that is not nearly the end. The Bible reveals that the most of life happens after physical death. Up to physical death, it is but a dot in eternity. Most of life happens for the believer after we die and we enter into glory. Now as well, for those who are not believers, they will also spend eternity in a very bad place. So Jesus made some very shocking statements about the afterlife and about eternity. And Jesus' teaching to his disciples included some of those teachings about what we can expect after we die and we enter into eternity. What did he say in Matthew 5, 11 and 12? Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Notice, because of me. "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Notice those words. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. There is rewards coming. And they are based on our life's choices. Great is your reward in heaven. For in the same day, the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, Matthew 5, 11 and 12. What did he say in Luke 6, 22 and 23? Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and when they insult you, and when they reject you, reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because what? Because great is your reward in heaven. Well, we're so concerned about, justice here. We are so concerned about everything should go right here. Jesus reminds us it doesn't have to go right in a fallen world, but your reward as a child of God comes later. What an amazing truth. We can rejoice in the worst of life's circumstances, providing it is what Jesus said, providing it is because of him, because of me. Not if we bring on something bad ourselves. He's not saying, that's going to be rewarded in heaven. No, but if we stand firm and we get ridiculed because of our Christian faith, because of being a follower, a disciple of Jesus, then great will be your reward in heaven. It has to be because of Jesus, not because of something I brought on myself. That if we're ridiculed, that will not be rewarded. Now, because there is a direct connection, or I could maybe ask the question first, why can we rejoice? Because there is a direct connection between what we do for his honor and his glory and something great he will do for you in heaven. Now that word reward, what does that word reward mean? We need to understand what that word means. The word reward means pay for service or rendered wages. In plain words, Jesus himself says, I am going to pay you back. That's very biblical. I will reward you. You are going to receive wages for being faithful in my kingdom, in the work of the kingdom of God. So that's what that means. Now, what does the word great mean? Jesus didn't just say, I'll reward you in heaven. He said, no, great will be your rewards. There's going to be greatness. The word great means much, plenteous, abundant, large. Wow. You know what? He doesn't mince any words. He lets us know you walk faithfully and your reward is going to be much, abundant. It's going to be large. You know what? When Jesus makes a promise, he doesn't just make a tiny little promise. We promise our kids, if you'll be nice, guess what? I'll give you a chocolate or something. That's puny stuff. Jesus says, great, large, abundant. Persecution for the cause of Christ will bring great reward in heaven for the believer. It's going to be for the cause of Christ. When you think about it, if we live our testimony, if our lifestyle will honor him, simply being a Christian and living it out openly and living with integrity will be rewarded, even though the world will hate us, ridicule us, reject us, and persecute us. Jesus promises great will be your reward. Now notice Matthew 5 verse 12, rejoice and be glad. Why? He's saying in the midst of all of this, we can rejoice and be glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. Notice he's saying, not necessarily here, in heaven. When we get to heaven, that's when the reward will come. Jesus isn't asking you and me to enjoy misery on his behalf here on earth. He's not saying that. Instead, he's saying that consequences, rewards in heaven for certain actions will be given in response to our faithfulness. And even though we might be experiencing something pretty bad here on earth, so this can even create in us some great outbursts of joy. What does he say in Luke 14:14? You will be what? Repaid repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. What does that word repaid mean? It literally means a giving back in return. Yes, and I'll get to that. We don't earn our salvation. But boy, I'll tell you, we will be repaid for faithfulness. Absolutely, and that's very biblical. That word, if you look up that Greek word, kind of broken into three parts, it means in return, back to give. Repaid. In return, back to give. He will give back to us in return for making right choices. Wow. We are all going to what? Appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What is that judgment seat, the Bema seat of Christ? What is it? It's a judicial bench representing authority, justice, and reward. It's like a raised platform. It's often made of marble in Old Testament days. And so this is actually where the provincial magistrates sat to hear Paul's case in court. Let me read. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul. And they brought him before the what? The raised Bema seat. They brought him before the judgment seat. That's Acts 18:12. Acts 25:10. Then Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, or the Bema seat, where I ought to be judged. When Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified, he was sitting on the judgment seat, John 19, verse 13, the Bema seat, the judgment seat. Now, believers and unbelievers will all be judged by Jesus at two events. One, the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and the other one, the great white throne judgment. So, what's the Bema seat? The Bema seat is for believers only. There will be no unbelievers there, and this happens during the 7 years in heaven, during the 7 years of tribulation on earth. The great white throne judgment is for unbelievers only. There will be no believers there, yet Jesus will still be the judge. That happens at the end of the millennial, thousand-year reign of Christ, and so those are the two judgment seats, the two judgments that will take place. Now, these are two totally different judgments. Jesus will be the judge at both of these judgments because John 5:22 tells us what? The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Jesus will be the judge at both. Our good works never save us, but our good works prove the existence and the reality of our salvation. They do not facilitate our entry into glory or our entry into salvation, but they will be rewarded. Judgment will be based on works. Salvation is not based on works. We need to have that clear according to Scripture. Salvation is by grace through faith alone, not based on works. But rewards in heaven are based on works. Now, in our text today, Paul was telling the Corinthians that there's a judgment seat in heaven, a bima, a raised step or platform, and every believer will have an appointment there in the future. All of us will be there, every believer. No one will miss the judgment seat of Christ. Why do I know that? Because Romans 14:10 says, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. God is very clear. Hebrews 9:27 says, man is destined to die once, and after that to face what? Judgment. Note the word bima, judgment, by implication means justice. Justice will be done. Now, why is that important? Because while we live in this fallen world, there's not a lot of justice. There is amazing all kinds of injustice in this evil fallen world. But when we get to the Bema seat, Jesus will mete out justice. He will give rewards right. righteously, justice will be done. Let's look at the two aspects of your eternity. Your belief, what you believe, determines where you will spend eternity. If you believe in Christ and the finished work of the cross, you will spend eternity with Christ in heaven. Bible says, this passage here says, away from the body and at home with the Lord. We will be at home with the Lord, not because of any works we have done, only because we trusted in Jesus. That needs to be clear. So let's take a brief look at man's journey from birth to our eternal destiny. First is life. Okay, first is life. God created us for a life of purpose. Why did God create us? For a life of purpose. We're all born into everlasting existence. Since the fall, we are born into everlasting existence. And unless Christ intervenes, and we trust, and he did, and we trust that, we are heading for eternal damnation. So between birth and death, we live as spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Faith in Jesus will get us saved. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And God rescues us from the kingdom of darkness. Colossians 1:13. He rescues us from this everlasting existence. And he rescues us from the kingdom of darkness. And he puts us into the kingdom of his dear son. So he rescues us from the eternal damnation. Praise God for that. So in order for us to be at home with the Lord, what has to happen? A deliberate decision has to be made to embrace the finished work of the cross. A deliberate, so again, that choice to trust Jesus and Jesus only and what he did will in fact impact us for all eternity. Throughout all eternity. Wow, that is an amazing thought, okay? Now, second, we look at death. We all die physically, but the believer doesn't die spiritually. He's been born again spiritually, new birth. He will never die again. Birth is our brief entrance into this life. So physical death, or the death of our body, is our instantaneous exit from this earth. Away from the body, 2 Corinthians 5:8. Unless, of course, the rapture takes place first. Your life as spirit and soul continues in all eternity, and that's what we need to understand today. And later, we will be reunited with our new, resurrected, glorified body, according to 1 Corinthians 15. So Jesus will bring the spirits and souls back with him to be reunited with their glorified bodies at the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4 teaches that. Now let's look thirdly at our destination. You reach your eternal destination after death, which is determined by what we believed while we lived on this earth. The Bible identifies only two possible locations in the afterlife: heaven or, of course, the lake of fire. Those are the only two destinations that the Bible actually teaches. So that choice that we make in life will determine where we spend eternity. Either we spend eternity in heaven with God for all eternity, or if we make a choice to still, you know, not accept the gift of life that Jesus offers, then, man, that person will spend all eternity in the lake of fire. So what you believe, then, I want to make it very clear, what we believe then determines where you will spend eternity. But our works, the choices we do that we make every day in how we live life, that determines how we will spend eternity. What we will enjoy once we get there, or what we might not enjoy. Wow, that's an amazing thought, and it's very, very biblical. So I just want us to understand that. So your eternal destiny is based entirely on your belief. Your behavior here on life, my behavior, determines how I will spend eternity. Okay? Very, very important. So let's look at what the Bible here says, whether good or bad. You know, the things done, whether good or bad, while in the body. That means while we live here on this earth. Now, what does the word good mean, and what does the word bad mean? The word good means that which will benefit. So the question is, the choices that I make every day, are they benefiting the kingdom of God? Are they bringing glory to God? Are my choices such that will actually honor and benefit and bring glory to God? Very important. What does the word bad mean? That means intrinsically worthless, evil, intrinsically worthless. The bad choices are intrinsically worthless and will never be rewarded, but good works will be. So, the fourth aspect of our journey is repayment. Wow. We come before the beam of seat of Christ, which will happen in heaven. You and I as believers will receive our rewards for eternity based on what we did or how we lived this life here on earth. This reinforces the importance of how we live our Christian lives here on earth. Okay? So I'm not putting into question our salvation, entirely based on what we believe, trusting Jesus. No works, no works. Oh boy, it will make a difference. So secondly, how we live our lives here in the choices, our behavior determines how we will spend eternity in heaven. So let's look secondly at the implications of our eternal rewards. Rewards for doing rather than a gift received for believing. See, salvation is a gift received for believing. Works. We will be rewarded for doing good things. Okay? So our actions today have the potential of radically affecting us for all eternity. How important is it to live according to the Word of God? Yes, works will never get us saved, but I can tell you, according to the Word of God, if we neglect and we think our daily life choices aren't important for all eternity, we are biblically very, very deceived. We are wrong. They will affect us for all eternity. Rewards could, in fact, we could miss out on rewards. We cannot assume that our actions are not extremely consequential on what eternity will be like for us. And you might say, well, I don't care. As long as I get to heaven, it'll all be glory. Yes, it will be. It will be gloriously in the presence of Christ. But boy, I'll tell you, I don't want to miss the great rewards. The abundant, the large rewards that Jesus promises. And Lord willing, a month from now, I'll do part two on this series, and we will find that there's actually loss that we could experience in heaven. The Bible says so. The Bible says so. Okay? So we should never think lightly about that. Rewards are based on life choices, and they continue to matter throughout eternity, whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. Let me read it again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat, the bema seat, the raised platform of Christ. It will be a reward ceremony when we get to that bema seat, so that each may what? Receive. It has to be a reward ceremony, because we will be receiving what is due us for what? Not for believing. We're already in glory when that takes place. But for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Does it pay off to live a life of integrity? Does it pay off to live a life of honesty? Does it pay off to live a life that you will say, yes, Lord, I'm going to be involved in kingdom work. Lord, wherever you call me, I will go. Does it pay off? Yes, it does. The Bible says it will make a difference. When Jesus gave this great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. Well, I'll tell you, we better get involved in making disciples because that will be rewarded. If we're not involved in making disciples, we can't be rewarded for that. Then we won't receive a reward. And like I said, then we in fact could experience loss, as 1 Corinthians teaches us. Wow. Every decision then in life, every decision becomes an opportunity of great promise and of great reward, of great promise. My friends, these are not my words. These are the words of Jesus in the Bible. These are God's words. My question is, do you want to experience the great rewards? Do I want to experience the great rewards? And I believe this has everything to do with everything in life. How we live life from the time we get up in the morning till the time we go to sleep. How you treat your wife, husbands. Wives, how you treat your husbands. If we are faithful, that will be rewarded. Someone comes your way and seeks to deceive you into dishonesty, and you say, nope, according to God's word, I must live a life of integrity. It will be rewarded. It will be rewarded. Not only just with a puny little reward. Jesus isn't going to be handing out chocolates. It's going to be great, abundant, large rewards. That's what he's going to be handing out. I'm kind of looking forward to that. Kind of looking forward to that. So we need to live how? We need to live with intention. We need to live with conviction. You know what that's missing in our Canadian culture? That's probably missing around the world. As David shared, you know, people are closed to the gospel in Taiwan. Well, I tell you, people in Canada are also closed to the gospel, many, many. But that should not keep us from living with intention. That should not keep us from living with absolute conviction. And our conviction must be based on the word of truth, on nothing else. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he's given me his word. God has given us his word. That's the conviction that we need to live out of. See, the big events, let me put it this way, are not behind us. My wife and I celebrated 45 years anniversary of marriage. That's a pretty major event. And we're looking forward to 50 and possibly 60. But you know what? The big events are not all going to be behind us. In fact, I believe that the big events are ahead of us. They're all ahead of us. The events we experience here, wow, they're going to be puny and compared to what we'll experience in all eternity. They are yet to come. Think about it. To have a perspective of eternity, to get what Jesus is or what God is teaching us in his word right here, we must have an eternal perspective. And that means that the vast majority of my life and of your life as a believer, if you're a child of God today, born again by the power of the Spirit of God, the vast majority of your life is ahead of you. By a long shot. What we're experiencing now is but a dot. That's all it is. It's ahead of us. And think about it. If we live conviction based on the Word of God, we will, based on the promises of Jesus, experience great rewards, not only for the first 5%, which doesn't even make any sense, because eternity doesn't have a percentage. It makes no sense. Just the first part of eternity. We're not just going to experience rewards for the first part of eternity. He says, for all eternity, it'll make a difference. Life's choices matter throughout eternity. Boy, that should move us. That should move us. God's guaranteed response to a specific action in this life that we will do will continue to affect our lives into all eternity. These rewards don't come from asking. You can say, God, you know what, I'm asking you to give me some great rewards for all eternity. These rewards don't come from asking. These rewards come from doing. What we do while we're in this body, whether good or bad. The good, that which is beneficial, that which brings glory, that which honors God, that which is eternally of value will be rewarded. And if God makes a promise, can we stand on it? I've staked my life on the promise of salvation. And I'm going to stake my life on the promise of His that He says, I will reward you with great rewards. I'll also stake my life on that. And we should all be doing that. Understanding and embracing by faith the biblical truth that we've just heard today. The biblical teaching about eternal rewards will dramatically change the believer's approach to life and daily actions. Notice what I've said. When we understand and embrace by faith, then, when we embrace by faith, only then will it change my approach to life and daily choices. Next time, Lord willing, I'll be talking about the reward ceremony, the judge at the Bema seat, the purpose of the Bema seat, and the results of the Bema seat. Now, because I preach once a month, it will be the end of July. But I'm already looking forward to that. So I want to encourage us this morning. Trust God's word. If you're a child of God today, you trusted Him for salvation. That choice is going to be something that will affect you for all eternity. And you will forever be with the Lord. That's guaranteed. And it's no different for daily choices in life. When we make choices, it will affect how we will enjoy that life with Christ for all eternity. Wow. To me, that's a mind-boggling thought. But I take it for what it is, straight out of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father God, this morning we thank You for another opportunity to come and to worship. We thank You for the power of Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Your word. And we thank You that You make it very clear that what I believe determines where I will spend eternity. But the choices I make in life and the things I do while in the body will determine how and what kind of rewards I will enjoy for all eternity. God, I pray that by Your Holy Spirit, You will impress this upon our hearts and that this will be a motivation for the body of Christ, for the church, for every believer, to not just live a nonchalant life, but to live a life conviction, integrity, honesty, a life that honors and glorifies You, a life that says, yes, Jesus, here I am, use me. Impress that upon our hearts. Thank You that You promise us eternal rewards. That You promise us great rewards. We give You glory. We worship You. And we thank You because all of that comes from You. And we thank You for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.